recovering addict. My name is Jessica. I don't think Desiree's here, but I'd really like to ask or thank her for asking me to speak. Like, never spoken at a retreat. This is definitely somewhere I have, I never really thought I'd got. Over the last few weeks, I've been driving myself a little crazy, like, trying to, think about doing this lead, and I'm, like, thinking about the topic, like, I'm here because, and I was, like, drawing blanks, and then I, like, really got freaked out, like, why don't I know why I'm here? And, but over the last few days, like, you know, I've really had the opportunity to, like, really, really reflect on my process of coming in here and where I am today. And you know, like, it really couldn't have come at a better time in my life to really, really look at my process over the last almost 3 years, you know. I'm a product of, like, keep coming back. Like, I've been to rehab after rehab after rehab, you know, with, like, no ability to be honest and completely unwilling to do anything that I needed to do, and then wondering why it didn't work, and you know, with a needle in my neck constantly, like, how did I get here again? And, you know, like, I didn't come in here because I wanted to be here. Like, at the end of my road, I had no desire to get clean. My options were, like, get clean or die. And I was like, well, I can't get clean. This isn't for me. I'm so unique. This will work for all of you, but not for me. And I wanted to die. I wanted to die. You know, like, I can remember going into rehab, forced legally for the last time. And, you know, like, literally crawling out of my skin, hating myself so much, like, I just couldn't even stand to be in my own skin, let alone without any drugs in me. You know, like, and when I take a look at that, like, I realize, like, you know, like, this is really, really an unmerited gift that I didn't even want. Like, I didn't bring myself here by any means. Like, I believe that I came in here on, like, my family's prayers. You know, and somewhere in that, I said this real half-hearted challenge to God one night. Like, I can remember planning to leave rehab because that's what I did. I left rehabs and, you know, went and I copped out constantly and just went and got high. And I was planning. Like, I packed my bags in the dark because I was tired of listening to people try to talk me out of doing it. And I can remember saying, like, this really half-hearted prayer of, like, you know, like, you've never been in my life. You've never given a shit about me. So let's see what you're going to do now. Because I was leaving on a mission. Like, I was not going to jail. And I was not staying in rehab. I was, like, on a mission to go get myself, to kill myself. You know, that's the night my obsession was removed. I woke up in the morning and was completely different. It was a totally different attitude. It was just tweaked so slightly, and I was able to just build and ride that into, like, agreeing to do a 90-day program at this rehab, you know, and that was, like, the start of my process, my real process, me actually recovering. Like, I found a willingness that I had never had before. It was like, okay, what do I got to do? Just tell me what I got to do. And, like, I just tried. I still wasn't sure, like, if it was going to work or anything. Like, and I just started doing what I needed to do. You know, like, I just need to, like, bring up, like, why. Like, right now, the last 6 months of my life have been, they've been huge. There's just been so much change happening and, like, so much fear and forcing myself through it and just, just trying to stay connected and do what I need to do and everything. And, you know, like, I built, my mom and I, like, I had the opportunity to make a living amends and build a business with my mom in recovery, to follow her dreams. And we couldn't really get our relationship to work out in any way. And I was living with her and I was working with her and it just wasn't working. Like, I felt on a daily basis like I was back in a crack house. Like, I hated myself. And so I, like, made a move of, like I was walking away from this business and I was moving out and I was going to a friend of mine's house and, like, sleeping on the couch. And I don't have my daughter. My mom still has custody of my daughter, and I wasn't sure how that was going to affect my relationship with her. And it's all worked out so beautifully, you know. You know, like, my greatest hopes of that situation, like, what I would have wanted it, how I would have wanted it to work out, like, it's worked out so much better than what I would have, if I would have, like, been allowed to map that out. Like, had I not, like, surrendered and allowed God to, like, just work in my life throughout this process. But, you know, like, things are happening in my life that are, like, supposed to happen in recovery. And it's just changing so much. And I look back and I've really been going through the struggle of feeling like I'm a fraud and this is, like, all just a big charade. This isn't me. Like, I don't know if I can, like, continue to do this because, like, these changes, this gift of life is not truly who I am. Like, I know how I lived. I know the person that I was. And so me being able to reflect and see where, like, I came from, you know, like, I was a junkie that lived across the street from my daughter. And the only time I seen her was when I absolutely had to. And I had no problem shooting dope in front of my child. None. You know, like, she remembers it. And, you know, like, I had the blessing a couple days ago of sitting down with her first grade teacher on a home visit and being able to express my concerns because I know where my child struggles in school today. Because, like, I have a relationship with my daughter because that's what, like, being here has given me, you know? You know, like, I was ready to give up on a relationship with my mom. It's been the biggest obstacle in my recovery, the biggest one. I was ready to just let it go, surrender, fine, this isn't working, da-da-da. And, like, you know, just me trying to do the right thing and show up and do what's best for me has, like, ultimately jump-started our relationship to, like, where we're now trying to work together. And she, like, she's working with me and we're trying and it's working out beautifully. And I feel like we're, like, this close to, like, actually having a relationship. It may not have been, like, the cookie cutter idea that I wanted in my head, but it's good. You know, I have this sponsor that, like, she emulates absolutely everything that I ultimately want to be. She just, I know you're not supposed to put anybody up on a pedestal, but she's up there. I don't care. She just, you know, she's, one of the biggest things she teaches me is, like, self-sufficiency. You know, like, she's just so independent and she just does the right things. Like, there's no question. She just, okay, what's the right thing to do here? That's what we got to do. And I just absolutely adore her. But, you know, like, I found something in these rooms, like, by being here that, like, had I not, like, ever become, like, I hear people say, like, they wish they weren't an addict or things like that. And, like, I also hear people say, like, they're glad that they're an addict. And I'm, you know, like, I'm just really, really glad I'm here. Like, I'm really, really glad that I, like, never have to use again and that I have these rooms. You know, like, had I never even picked up the first one, I still would have been a shitty person. I had no decent examples in my life of how to be, like, honest, of how to do the right thing, how to think of somebody before myself. You know, like, I don't know. You know, like, we were talking about, like, friendship the other day, and, I was thinking about how incapable I've ever been of being a friend and, you know, how I have these women in my life today that, like, you know, like, anything that I'm going through, like, they want to know about it. They want to know about it. Like, for somebody who couldn't stand women, like, now, like, I really don't, that's all I have in my life at this point is women, you know? It's women, I don't know, I don't want to, for some reason, I don't want to cry up here. Like, you know, like, I have this best friend who, like, we came in here together, and, you know, like, I call her my like, non-lesbian soulmate, and we have literally walked through this process together, and it is so, so awesome. Like, this feeling that, like, I get here of never, ever being alone, it's so surreal sometimes. You know, like, I feel like I'm celebrating right now. Like, I'm truly so overwhelmed with gratitude. Like, it's like leaving me speechless over the last few days. Like, just seeing how, like, things have played out and the people who have been with me along the way and the people who are presented and the just amazing blessings, here. But ultimately, like, I'm here because, like, I don't know how to live. I really don't. Like, I just went through a period where I didn't want to go to meetings. I couldn't stand meetings. I wasn't enjoying them. I had a million reasons. I want to be a mom. I want to focus more on my career. I want to build a life for me and my child. You know, I want to be there more for my family. I want to be able to, you know, come home from a day of work and sit at home and not. And I found myself so covered in self-obsession. A place like I couldn't stand myself. Again, like I go through like these cycles where like, again, I can't stand myself. And like, you know, like, hence the reason why, like, feelings of being a fraud and this is all just a big act, like a big charade. This isn't real. It's going to get ripped out from underneath me. I'm going to fuck it up because that's what I do. I fuck shit up in my life. You know, like, we're allowed to grow and really fester. And, you know, like, the more that I wasn't talking and I wasn't connected, the more I allowed it to, like, drive me back, to drive me out. You know, like, I'm real, real in touch right now today with the fact that, like, I'm not above getting high. I'm not exempt. And, like, if I continue to, like, go on that process, like, I will end up with a needle in my neck and be like, how did I get here again? You know, I was real worried about, like, my struggle with, like, willingness. Like, I was like, where did that go? Like, it was such a blessing when I came in, like, something that I had never had before. And, like, I found myself saying things like, you know, like, well, I don't really feel like doing that today, so I'm not going to, about things that I need to do on a daily basis. And, you know, but, like, you know, like, when I finally got honest with the women in my life and my sponsor and was able to say it, like, I do have the willingness. I really do. Like, I'm not real sure what happened with that. Like if I need to switch up my meetings and go to different meetings for a little while, like, whatever. But I do have the willingness. Like, because at the end of the day, like, I'm still terrified of getting high. Like, you guys remind me where I come from and what I'm capable of and where I'm going. And it's all here. Everything I need is here. Like, at my home group the other night, they were talking about family. And all these people had these amazing stories about their families and how close they were and how amazing. And I really honestly got a little resentful listening to that meeting because I couldn't relate. I don't have that family. But I do. Like, whenever I had to sit back and think about it, like, it's just not blood. Like, I have a family here that, like, I didn't even realize existed. Like, the relationships that I have get so honest here. I just can't imagine living any other way now. Any other way. You know, I found a home here. Like, I found a God here that doesn't give me what I want. He gives me what I need. You know, like, I have a relationship with a God of my understanding that that I thought I was unworthy of for a really long time. And I still sometimes feel unworthy because I look at myself and I have to question, like, I call myself a recovering addict, and sometimes, like, my actions and my behaviors, I'm like, are you a recovering addict, Jessica? Are you? Are you acting as if you're a recovering addict? And, you know, sometimes in those days, like, I just have to be glad that, like, I'm still clean at the end of the day. And, you know, but, like, you guys tell me what to do. You tell me how to bring myself out of that, how to change that, how to amend those behaviors. Call me on my shit, you know. Being in these rooms has just grounded me in a life that I never thought was possible. That I didn't even want, you know, and, you know, like I'm a master of self-deception, and you guys tell me the truth and keep me absolutely aware of where I'm really at and what I'm working on and what I'm doing, and you challenge me to push harder, go deeper, you know, and, I think that's all I have. I really do. Thanks for letting me share.
All right, I'd like to introduce the second speaker, Brian H. from New Way to Live Group.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Brian. I'm an addict. My clean date is 7/14/08. Reason why I'm here is because man, I use drugs, man, too much, too long, too often, man. I couldn't fucking stop. I'm warning you now, I'm probably going to hear pay-off word a couple times probably, so I like to swear a little bit when I share because, you know, it gives me that little extra something, you know what I mean? But, you know, when I first came to Narcotics Anonymous, actually my first experience with Narcotics Anonymous was going to buy drugs off of somebody who was in one, you know, coming out of a meeting. That was like my first experience with Narcotics Anonymous. And, you know, like I came in and out of these rooms for years. I came in and out rehabs, you know, never quite got it. You know, never quite wanted it, really, you know, to be honest. You know, for a long time, I was comfortable with being an addict. I was comfortable with shooting dope every day. I was comfortable with stealing and doing whatever I could to get the next one. You know, for a very long time, I was comfortable with that. It was sick and twisted, you know, to be truly honest. And, and it wasn't until, I got arrested that, like, my recovery process, my recovery process began, you know, and I actually wanted to get clean, you know what I mean? Because I was, at that point, like, at the end of the road at that point, like, I was totally sick of waking up every day in total, utter desperation, loneliness, degradation. Like, the pure pain that I felt every day was unbearable. The drugs had stopped working. I was, you know, shooting dope and not getting high and still feeling horrible about myself. You know, it's that spiritual awakening, you know, I've had a couple of them, you know, through this process of recovery, you know, and that was like the first one. It was like when the drugs stopped working and, like, you know, drugs weren't making Brian feel any better about himself anymore. And, you know, but, you know, it's still at that point, like, I just still couldn't stop, you know, I still couldn't stop. Like, I like to share about, like, the pain, you know, that I went through. Like, I don't like the war story, but I like to share about the pain. I like to identify about the pain. We can all identify with the pain, you know. It was like, you know, waking up every day, you know, on my sister's couch, 7 a.m, I'm an early rising addict, you know, 7 a.m, gotta get something together, you know what I mean? You know, and I did whatever I could to get drugs, you know, I stole, you know, I robbed places, you know, and at the end, I stole off my family, I stole off you, I stole off everything I could, you know, and at the end of the road, like 2 weeks before I ended up like going to rehab and stuff this last time, all I could do was beg for money, you know, and that's what I would do. You know, I would beg for it. I would fucking wake up at 7 in the morning and run to my mom's house and pound on her door, you know, and she would open it up just a little bit, you know, because she knew it was me, you know, she wouldn't let me in the house, you know, and I'm, you know, I'd just sit there and hold her fucking hostage, make her late for work until she gave me money, you know, and I was like, that's what I did every day for a long time, you know. You know, I was living with my sister at that time, and, like, it was all bad, you know, and it's like when you wake up in the morning because you're throwing up because you're sick off of dope, you know what I mean? Wake up in the morning and, like, you're just like, oh, I got to go through this again. You know what I mean? Like, going to bed at night. Like, I wanted to go to bed so bad at night because I just didn't want to be in this world anymore. You know, but then I didn't want to go to sleep because I knew I'd wake up that much faster at 7 in the morning trying to figure out what the fuck I'm going to do to get high today. You know? And, like, thank God I got arrested, you know, got arrested in Duquesne, you know, and, like, that was probably, like, the best thing that ever could have happened for me. You know, I get arrested, and, you know, I go to jail, and, like, I get out, they gave me a court date, you know what I mean, and it wasn't until, like, 6 months later, you know, so, you know, I used that entire time, you know, until that court date, you know, and when, you know, they sentenced me to drug court. I get sentenced to drug court, and, like, they made me go to rehab for 2 months, you know, rehab for 2 months, halfway house for 4 months, and a three-quarter-way house for 6 months, you know, and thank God for that, because they made me do all the things I never wanted to do before. I never wanted to go and do, you know, a halfway house or a three-quarter-way house or anything, you know what I mean? But my second spiritual awakening happened when I was in rehab the last time. I like to share about this because it's a huge turning point in, like, my recovery. That's, like, it's when my obsession was lifted and, like, I knew that I wanted to stay clean. You know, I was coming out of my cabin. I was going down to smoke a cigarette, you know, before breakfast, you know. Wake up early, walking down there. It's a day like this, man, you know, a summer morning, you know. And I was, like, walking down the cabin. I'm, like, and I light my cigarette up, and, like, all of a sudden, like, I look to my right, you know, and I seen, like, beautiful, beautiful view, because I'm on top of this mountain, right, and in this rehab, and I look to my right, and, like, the sky is beautiful. It's, like, filled with all kinds of colors, you know, and, like, it stopped me dead in my tracks, because, like, you know, I haven't seen anything, you know, I haven't even paid attention to beauty in such a long time, and, like, I stood there, and I looked at it, and I was like, wow. You know, look at that. And, like, all of a sudden, like, this warm, comfortable feeling came over me. You know, one that I have never known without drugs. And, you know, a little voice in my head said, hey, Brian, like, you don't ever have to use again, and it'll be all right. You know? And, like, it, like, snapped in my head, and I was like, oh, wow. You know? And, like, the obsession to use was lifted, you know, and at that point, like, I knew that, like, wow, you know what, I do want to stay clean. Like, I don't want to live like this anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I don't. I don't want to feel pain like that anymore. I don't want to go through life in no direction like I was, you know. You know, because I was out there, man. I used drugs, you know, for 14 years. Like, I could not fucking stop, you know. And, like, 8 of it was shooting dope. Like, I just could not stop. I didn't know how. You know, and at some points I didn't even want to, you know. I was comfortable with dying as an addict, you know, because I was too scared to even try to get clean, you know. So, like, you know, when I got out of rehab, like, you know, I went, like, to the halfway house and the three-quarter-way house. Like, the halfway house was a great experience for me. Like, I learned how to, like, live a little bit, you know, because I didn't know how to live. I didn't know nothing about shit. You know what I mean? I didn't know about, like, getting a job and actually keeping it. You know, I didn't know nothing about that. Like, I'd get a job for 3 months and fucking that was it. Or my first paycheck and that was it. You know what I mean? I didn't know how to pay bills. I didn't know how to wash clothes or do dishes or cook. Or I didn't know none of that. None of that, all that stuff was foreign to me. Like, I ate zebra cakes, you know, for years because, you know, they're 25 cents and easy to steal when you have to. You know what I mean? Like, I can't even look at them goddamn things these days. I can't. I'd be walking through the gas station. I'll be like, no fucking way. I ain't coming back to that today. You know what I mean? So, like, I didn't know nothing about that kind of stuff. I just didn't, you know? And that's, like, you know, how I learned that was in, like, the halfway house. Like, I learned how to, like, you know, they had these cooking classes and, like, you know, all this, like, sort of stuff. And they had you go out and work. And, like, I learned how to reach out to people, you know, because you had to get these things, like, contacts. You had to get rides to meetings. You had to call. And you had to, like, put the work in to get the meetings. Because if you didn't, you were going to sit in the fucking house. You know what I mean? You didn't want to do that because that sucked. And, you know, so I learned, like, how to reach out, you know, and it was, like, probably, like, one of the best things for me, you know. I learned how to reach out, man. So, like, when I got out of there and I went to the three-quarter way house, like, I went there and, like, I'll talk about going back to the gutter, man, because, like, I was in this three-quarter way house in McKees Rocks, and it was hard, man. Like, I was filled, you know, I was in a house where it was a bunch of drug dealers that got caught with drugs. You know what I mean? That said that they were an addict, so they'd get out of trouble. They were all dealing out of it. I was the only one there serious about my recovery, and it was very hard. You know, if it wasn't for the skills that I learned in that halfway house, I don't know if I'd still be clean today. You know what I mean? Because I was, like, reached out. I reached out to anybody I could. You know, I just, like, focused. I really, like, I kind of was like a loner. You know, I'd talk with the guys and mix it up just so I wasn't on bad terms with anybody. You know what I mean? But, like, my sheer willingness to stay clean is, like, really, you know, it really helped me, like, really helped me stay clean a lot, you know? It helped me get through it, you know? And when I got out of there, you know, I was allowed to get my own place, you know? And, like, you know, I was scared, like, well, because I went to the three-quarter way, I got a job at Eaton Park waiting tables, you know? I remember when my dad dropped me off at the three-quarter way house, he was like, here, that's it. He was like, you're on your own. I'm not giving you any more money. I'm not paying your rent. If you don't do it yourself, then I don't know what to tell you. You know what I mean? And that was, like, the best thing he could have done for me. You know, because then, like, you know, I was scared. I was like, oh, shit. You know, I don't know if I could do any of this. You know what I mean? But, like, you know, I actually found out that I could do it. You know, I actually found out that if I worked and saved money that I could actually pay a bill. You know, that was very foreign to me. You know, like, I couldn't keep a $50 cricket bill, you know what I mean, for more than turning it on one time, you know what I mean? But, like, I learned that, like, I could do that stuff. Like, through Narcotics Anonymous, like, Narcotics Anonymous taught me how to do a lot of things that I thought I could never, ever do, you know? It's such, like, an amazing program, you know, and that's exactly why I'm here, you know, that's why I stay here, you know, today, is because I learn about myself through this program that, it lets me do things that, like, I never thought were possible, you know, because, like, when I got out of the three-quarter way house, I actually had money saved. I got my own place, you know what I mean? I paid my own bills, and, like, I kept that. I switched Eaton Parks and I waited tables at the one in my hometown. You know what I mean? And I was very scared about that because I was like, fuck, I'm going to go back to my hometown. Now I'm going to wait tables on people that know me. And, like, you know, I'm going to be judged. And, like, oh, there's fucking the junkie Brian. You know what I mean? And, like, all these thoughts were going through my head. And I remember my mom took me to my first day of work because I didn't have a car then. I didn't have a license then. You know? And she was like, you know, she pulled up to the front entrance, you know, my head's down, and I'm like, oh, man, you know, like, fear, overwhelming fear, and, like, my mom said, you know what, Brian, like, all you have to do is go up there and hold your head up, and you'll be all right, you know what I mean, don't let anybody, you know, bring you down, and, like, you know, I found a great level of comfort in that since it was coming from my mom because we didn't have a really good relationship, you know. And, like, I got out there and, like, went to work, man. And, like, I didn't. Like, I held my head high because I knew that I was doing the right thing, you know. And, like, in time, like, I got a career, you know. Amazingly, I got a career. You know, I'm an electrician, a third-year apprentice electrician today, you know. And I have a really good job and, like, you know, things that I never thought were possible, you know, became possible through, like, staying clean, coming to meetings and you know, doing the things that I was told to do, like getting a sponsor and a home group and working steps and working traditions and, like, getting service positions. You know, I'm a big service junkie. I'm on a big service junkie family tree of sponsorship. You know what I mean? And we're all about service and traditions and, like, and, yeah, I believe, like, you know, because I sort of, like, before, like, I had three sponsors so far in my, you know, stay in Narcotics Anonymous. The first one only lasted like a week, and then second one lasted when I was in that, you know, halfway house and three-quarter way house. But when I moved out, you know, and back, like, on my own apartment, like, I moved away from there, so, like, I had to get a new sponsor. You know what I mean? And, like, one day, like, I was at a picnic, you know, at the Wee Area picnic, and, like, I'm, like, lost, you know. I'm like, oh, I gotta get a sponsor. I'm like, what the fuck am I gonna do? Like, you know what I mean? I'm, like, walking around, and, like, all of a sudden I see this dude giving this PI workshop, you know what I mean? And I'm, like, thinking to myself, I'm like, oh, look at that dude, you know? He's, like, God, you know, he's like a chair of a, you know, of a committee that nobody gives a shit about. You know what I mean? Nobody fucking cares about PI, you know? There's like six people there, you know? And he's like giving this workshop. And I thought to myself, like, wow, that dude, he has something. You know, he's not in it for the limelight. You know what I mean? He's like, he's got something figured out. Whatever he's got figured out, I want. You know what I mean? So I went up and I asked him to sponsor me. You know, and, like, that was, like, you know, the best thing that I ever could have done for my recovery. The best thing, like, my sponsor, I love my sponsor to death, helps me out a lot, you know, and, like, got me into service work. Because that's, like, kind of like what I, you know, I kind of knew that I wanted to be a service in NA. Because I know for me, I'm not saying about anybody else talking about me here, that, like, I need more than meetings and steps. That's just the way it is. I need more than that. I can't just come here and come to meetings and do step work. You know, I know some people can. That's great, but not me, because I'll get bored. I know me. Like, I need more, you know? And, you know, and he keeps me accountable with that kind of thing. So there's my old service spiel. But, yeah, so, like, I'm going to have to be honest. Like, I'm going through just such a rough time right now. Really, really rough. Like, for the past couple of weeks, all I want to do is fucking use. You know? I want to use, man. I do, man. I do. My whole past year of recovery has been, like, up and down and, like, all around. And, like, you know, I let character defects rule my life for the past year. You know? I did. Like, I let things run my life, you know, and I got to share about it. Because that's another reason why, you know, that, like, I got to keep coming back, man, because I got to get through this. You know, I got to get through it. I got to start working a more spiritual program if I want to survive. You know, 2 days ago, I was sitting at home in my own shit, and, like, all of a sudden, that's it. I'm quitting fucking Narcotics Anonymous. I'm quitting. I'm done. I'm not coming to meetings. I'm fucking quitting my home group, service commitment, I'm done, I'm fucking done, I'm going to nightclubs from now on. That's what my thought process was, you know, and I was so fed up, and, like, so I called a friend that I've known that relapsed, and I was talking with him, and I was talking with her, and I asked her, I was like, what's it like going back out there, you know what I mean? I was, what's it like? She said, hell. I was like, fuck. I wanted to hear it was fun at first. I could deal with it was fun at first. You know what I mean? But she didn't tell me that. You know, she didn't tell me it was fun at first. She said it was hell. I was like, oh, all right. Well, I was like, how's it coming back, you know, after a relapse? She said, hardest thing I ever did. I was like, shit. You know, I don't want hard stuff. I want easy stuff, you know? And, like, she was like, are you planning on doing something fucking stupid, Bri? And I said, yeah, to be honest, I just want to go out and drink. You know, I want to forget about it. I want to forget about everything. And I want some relief. You know, that's what I'm looking for, relief. And, you know, she talked with me for, like, a great while on the phone. And, like, after I got off, like, I went to bed and I woke up, you know, and I was clean. You know, and, like, I laughed at myself a little bit. And I'm like, what the fuck was I thinking last night? Like, quitting Narcotics Anonymous. Like, you know, it's easy to forget about all the great things in your life. You know, when you're focused on the one wrong thing in your life, you know, and, because, like, Like, I never thought that I would be where I am today in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I didn't. Like, I never thought that. Like, I thought if I just put the drugs down, did a little step work, you know, and, like, kind of, like, do spiritual principles, spiritual shit, that I'll be all right. And that's just not the truth. That's not the case with me, you know, because I for the past year, like I said, character defects ruled my life, man. And I couldn't see it. You know, people would tell me, but I couldn't see it. You know, I could not see it. You know, I was searching for outside things to make me feel good, you know, and like it wasn't, you know, I wasn't aware, you know, or I didn't want to be aware, or I was aware, you know, like I was acting out like I was in a relationship, you know, and I was acting out on lust, you know, I wasn't cheating, but I was flirting, I was lusting, you know what I mean? I was watching porn like mad crazy, you know what I mean? Because I was searching for outside shit to make me feel better about myself, you know what I mean? It ruined me, man. Spiritually, bankrupt, gone, you know? I don't know how I expected to do unspiritual things and feel spiritual, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what my thought process was at that time. You know, I was just so jammed up, and, like, you know, I was working a lot, and, like, and that was making me crazy, you know, and I was, like, I take martial arts, and I was taking two forms of martial arts at that time. Like, I was, like, trying to, like, grab all these fucking things, you know what I mean, to try and make me feel good, and, like, it wasn't working, you know, it wasn't working. I wasn't taking care of the spiritual principles that my sponsor pounded in my head since he's been my sponsor. I'm like, yeah, spiritual principles, okay. You know, I'll look them up, do the definitions, fine, that's cool. All right, you know, and maybe I'll look at them every once in a while, you know. And, like, you know, that just didn't work for me, man. And, like, you know, I found myself, like, you know, really jammed up right now, you know. Like I said, like, the past 2 weeks, like, you know, all I really wanted to do was use and quit and, like, you know, I just didn't pick up yet, you know. I didn't pick up. I don't plan on picking up today. I don't plan on picking up tomorrow either, you know what I mean? I don't like to go too much into the future right now, but, like, I like to stay in today, you know. So, like, you know, after, like, the relationship that I was in, it ended, you know, I basically ended it, you know, and, I don't know, like, I started to, like, put that stuff down, you know, I started to put down the lust, you know, I started to put down the porn, and I started to, focus on what was really happening inside of me, you know, work slowed down, I quit one form of martial arts, so, you know, I really took a whole lot of shit out of my life really fast. You know, and, like, when I did that, like, the things that were numbing my feelings stopped numbing them, you know, and my true feelings started to, you know, come awake again. And, like, when that happened, you know, I started to miss the relationship, you know, I started to miss the girl and the relationship and, like, what we had. And, like, I don't want to turn this into a big relationship, bitch, so I'm going to just touch on it for a second, because that's just where I'm at and why I'm feeling the way I'm feeling, you know. It took me almost 4 years to cry in recovery. I always thought there was something wrong with me because I couldn't fucking cry, you know, and, like, I can't fucking stop now. It's like a goddamn fucking waterfall, you know. It's every day I fucking break down at some point, you know. Like, oh, fuck, you know, what am I doing, you know, what the fuck? And so, like, I felt good to cry. I'm going to be honest, man. It feels good today. It does, man, because, like, I'm alive, you know? I feel, you know? Sometimes I don't want to feel, but I do, you know? That's one of the second sponsor I ever had. I remember in the halfway house, I'd be like, dude, I'll call him every day. I have all these feelings, dude. All these feelings. I don't know what to do. I don't even know what they are, you know? And he'd be like, Brian, just calm down, dude, because they're just feelings. That's a good thing about feelings is they're just feelings. They will pass, good or bad. You know, it says that in Relapse and Recovery. Like, I remember when I first read that in Relapse and Recovery, I was blown the fuck away. I was blown away. I was like, holy shit. You know, that's, it makes so much sense to me, you know. But, so, like, I started to miss the relationship, you know, and, like, I tried to get it back and it didn't work, you know. So now I'm fucking hurt, you know, I'm hurt inside. Like, hurt really bad, you know? And that's like, you know, it's all my own shit, you know? A lot of it was all my own fault, and there's nothing I can fucking do about it but, like, sit through pain and, like, go to meetings, talk with people, and make, like, changes, you know what I mean? Like, she was talking about changes, man. Like, I went to my area, right, to the meeting spot where I used to always go. Went down there to my last meeting down there, and afterwards I said, all right, see you guys later. I ain't going to be back. I gotta change, you know, I can't, because in my mind, I know for a fact that I cannot grow there the way that I want to grow in that area anymore. I just can't do it, you know. So I said goodbye to him, you know what I mean, and I haven't been back there since. It was a couple of weeks ago, and like, I'm starting to go to, like, you know, Pittsburgh meetings and, like, meet new people and experience new things. You know what I mean? Because I believe that's what I need to do for myself to get better, you know? So that's, like, what I'm trying to do today. I'm really just trying to experience, like, new things. I'm trying to heal, man. I need to forgive myself for the way that I've been acting, you know, for the past year. Because, you know, I just need to forgive myself. You know, I need God to forgive me. Like, I pray every day for, like, God to forgive me and for, like, God to help me stop. It helped me stop beating myself up, man, you know, and help me start to heal a little bit, you know. It's hard, man. It's hard because, like, I'm good at beating myself up, and that's what I like to do. I'm feeling bad. I want to beat myself up. I want to sit at home. I want to break shit. I want to fucking fight people. Like, I want to do all kinds of shit, you know, like, you know, you'd be fucking, I'm so insane sometimes, you know. I'm, like, sitting at home by myself. And I'm like, okay, how can I hurt myself today so I don't have to feel the other pain? You know what I mean? Like, I want to join fight clubs and I want to fucking go to bars and start fights. Like, I want to do all these crazy things in my head. Like, this is a good idea, Brian. You should go to a bar and pick a fight with dudes. It'll be a good time. You know, that's like the kind of shit that goes on in my head sometimes. And I'm like, that's fucking stupid. You know what I mean? That's, like, really dumb. Like, my disease talks to me sometimes, you know, and it, like, wants me to do all these crazy things, you know, and, like, sometimes it sounds like a good idea, and, like, I just know that, like, it's really not. You know what I mean? Because, like, anger and, like, wanting to fight and, like, all those kinds of things are, like, really a new feeling for me, to be honest with you. You know, out in addiction, I was always scared. I was always so scared and timid and, like, you know what I mean? And, like, inside, I always wanted to lash out and, like, fight and, like, stand up for myself. You know what I mean? I always wanted to do those things, but I never could do when I was using, you know? But, like, today, I stick up for myself. Probably too much sometimes, I would say. You know? Sometimes. I don't let people talk down on me. And if you hurt me, I will fucking lash out at you sometimes. I will let you know that I am hurt, and I'll let you know that I'm not scared. You know what I mean? And that's probably a character defect that I should work on. You know what I mean? Because I think, you know, sometimes I think I'm this big, tough martial arts guy. I don't fucking care. I'll fight anybody. You know what I mean? And I think that shit goes on in my head. You know, my ego wants to tell me that. You know what I mean? And, like, I know that that's not, like, really, like, the hardcore truth, because I'm not really like that. Like, you know, I know that I'm a good, caring person, and, like, I know that, like, you know, I'm human, and human makes mistakes, and, like, you know, I know all these things. You know what I mean? And, you know, I'm just really just trying to get better with myself, you know, because I'm not right now. I'm just not good with myself. Like, I'm not in a good spot at all, you know? And, like, I know the only way that I will come out of this is, like, I was talking with my friend just before the meeting, man, and he was talking about, like, you know, Narcotics Anonymous being like a big feathered pillow or whatever, and, like, to fall back on that, you know what I mean? And, like, that makes sense to me, you know? Like, I have to come here and share honestly, because a lot of my problems was for the past year I wasn't being honest. Listen, people, I was not being honest. I was not being honest with myself. I wasn't being honest with my sponsor. I wasn't being honest with you guys. I would tell you just enough, but I wouldn't tell you everything, because I was scared. I was scared that I had a moral deficiency. I was scared that, like, I was different in some way that I just couldn't You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't put this stuff down, you know, these character defects and these things that were like, you know, I was so caught up. It was like the drug. You know, I remember telling, you know, my ex-girlfriend that porn was the closest thing to heroin that I ever found. You know what I mean? And that's scary when I think back on that now. You know, that's really fucking scary. I don't know where I was going with this shit. But anyway, I have to come here, man. You know, I have to be honest. And, like, that's what I'm trying to do today, be 100% honest. Like, I told my sponsor a couple of weeks ago, I came on to him, I'm like, dude, I haven't been honest with you for the past year about a fucking thing. I'd give you just enough, you know, to either shut you up or, you know what I mean, or just to make me feel a little bit better. You know, because I was scared because, you know, like I said, I thought I had a moral deficiency. I thought I was different. I thought that I could not get certain things. And, and I thought, well, all right, if I just don't share about it, it'll go away. You know, when that didn't work, I thought, okay, well, I'll hide it because I'm ashamed. And that only sent me down, like, further into the spiral. You know what I mean? And, I let it jam me up for a long time, all these things. You know what I mean? So, like, you know, I told my sponsor, you know, dude, I haven't been honest with you. So what do I get? I get assignments to do, right? You know, I write about honesty. I write about how important it is to be honest, you know, and I call my, like, I wasn't calling him every day. I was calling him maybe once a week, not even, you know what I mean? And, like, ever since that conversation with him, I've been calling him every day, letting him know exactly what I'm feeling and where I'm at, even if it's I don't know how I'm feeling today, Rich. I do not know, you know. I'm fucked up. I know that. I'm depressed. I know that. You know what I mean? But that's all right, because, like, I'm allowed to feel that way. I'm allowed to feel any way I really want to, you know? I'm being totally honest today. Like, you know, I'm come up here, I'm going to tell you guys that I got caught up in porn and that I got caught up in lusting after other women. Judge me if you want to, you know what I mean? But that's just where the fuck I was at, you know? It's just what happened to me, and I got to be honest about it. I got to let you guys know where I'm at so I'm safe. You know, I got to call people when I want to use. I got to call people when I want to quit Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I got to call people and let people know where I'm at, man. I just got to do it today. You know, and I got to be fucking totally honest with myself. You know? So, like, what do you do when you want to... What are you going to do when something's making your life unmanageable? How willing are you to get over that? Are you willing to cancel your Facebook account? Are you willing to smash your computer off the ground? I did both of those. Are you willing to, like, get with more men, you know what I mean? Or the, you know, women, if you're a woman, you know what I mean? And talk about your problems and, like, get experience, you know, strength and hope from other people that may have been through it. You know what I mean? Like, I was ready to do all those things and I did it, man. And, like, my life is more manageable, you know what I mean? Like, I don't go on Facebook looking to see what girls are on. You know what I mean? I went through my phone and I erased every girl out of here that I lusted after. Gone. Erased everything out of there. Like, I took a lot of things out of my life, you know, that was making it unmanageable. You know, and I feel a little bit better about that. I do. I feel more spiritual. My spiritual being is more awake today, you know, than it was before. It's a good feeling. You know, I'm still depressed though. You know, I'm still fucking really deeply emotionally hurt, and, like, I didn't even want to come here today. Didn't want to come. I don't want to run into anybody. I don't want to run into anybody. You know, I just don't. So, like, you know, but I'm here, man, because I know that I made a commitment to come here and speak. This is probably the first time that I ever spoke that I really didn't want to. You know, 'cause I like speaking. You know, I like being up here, being the center of attention. Listen to me, because I'm Brian. You know what I mean? And I know what I'm talking about sometimes, you know, but, like, I really don't know what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? I don't, like, know what I've been through. I already know. I just know my experience, you know, and, like, that's what I'm here to give you guys is my experience. And this is all why I keep coming back to Narcotics Anonymous, man, every day, because I don't want to use, man. I don't want to go back to that degradation and loneliness and desperation that I felt every day. You know, I don't want to lose the things that I've gotten. Like, I got my license back today. I have a career. Bought a fucking car. Me. Listen, this is kind of a funny story. I had to take work off because I had to go to a speeding ticket hearing, right? So I go to the speeding ticket hearing, and I plead, please, I just got my license back, and I don't want no points, right? Judge slaps me on the wrist, I pay a fine, I leave. On the way home from work, and my car is like a piece of shit, it's dying, and like, I know I got to buy a new car, and I'm all depressed because of the girl, you know, and like, I'm driving home, and I see a dealership. I'm like, oh, a dealership, they got Nissans there, sweet. Pull up there, I go to the used car department, and I'm like, I need a fucking car, dude, you know what I mean? Got any Nissan Altimas? He showed it to me, right? And he's like, you want to take it for a test drive? I was like, yeah, you know, and drove it around. And, like, when we got back to the dealership, I went, fuck it, let's do it. Signed it and bought the fucking car. You know, like, it's amazing because I can do that today. You know, I can, on a whim, go out and buy a car. Like, that's crazy to me. You know what I mean? That I'm able to do that. You know, it's totally insane that, you know, the guy actually came back with the paperwork and said, okay, the car's yours, you can pick it up tomorrow. And I was like, wow, you know what I mean? I can afford this. I can afford to live on my own, pay my own bills, buy a car. Like, I can do all these things on my own, you know? And, like, what a blessing that is. Like, to be able to do those things. I was never be able to do those things before. A really hard time supporting a fucking heroin habit, you know, and I had to, like, steal for that. And, you know, I still didn't get enough money most of the times. Like, and like I said, like, you know, I couldn't pay a $50 cell phone bill in a month. Like, just things that I could not do, you know. You know, I'm an uncle today, you know, and I have a chance to, like, be there for, like, you know, for a niece, you know. Like, I'm a better son today. I could be a better one, but I'm a good one for right now. You know, I still have a hard time. After 4 years of being clean, I still have a hard time connecting with family members. I don't know why. I just do. You know, but I am a better brother, and I'm a better son. And, like, I know that in time that I could be a better boyfriend. You know what I mean? I know that, like, I can be the person that I know that I am, because I know that, like, I'm not an all bad dude. You know, I know that, like, you know, I'm a loving, caring guy, and I will do a lot of things for, you know, I'll do almost anything to anybody that wants help. You know, like, I know all these things about me, and it's so hard for me to even come up here and tell you that, like, that I am this kind of person, because I don't, you know, my disease doesn't want me to think that I am. You know, but that's why I keep coming back to Narcotics Anonymous. You know, keep coming back here to keep myself, you know, accountable, so I don't go out and use and fuck everything up, because I don't want to do that anymore. I just don't. I just want to, like, be healthy and feel good, you know. You know, and that's all I want to do. You know what I mean? And you know, I'm gonna end this with my favorite poem from Dr. Seuss. All right, I have it tattooed on my arm, and it goes, "Today you are you. That is truer than true. There is no one alive who is youer than you." Brian, I'm an addict. That's all I got.